inspiring people across the planet to be a little kinder and a little more gentle with each other, delivering inspirational TV, one story at a time, from my lounge to yours. I'm your host, Toni Lontis. Good evening, everyone, and good morning to our lunchtime listeners on Radio Toni. We're live streaming into Facebook and LinkedIn right now, and also YouTube if you happen to be watching on YouTube. This is Radio Toni with Everyday Business, and our wonderful guest is Karen Clark again. And we have been having some really amazing conversations about the universal laws and our mental faculties, vision building, and creating the life that you want. But before I get on to Karen, I just wanted to tell you a little bit of a funny story. So you might all notice the llamas that come up on the intro to the show. Well, every year our llamas, Avocado and Apu Moche, yes, that's is his name. His mother was called Muckapitju, so he was called Apu Moche. Anyway, every year at about this time, September or October in Australia, we have to get them shorn. And so the professional shearers have to come up from Victoria. And for them, it's been a bit of an effort because of all our border closures and the COVID across the country. And these guys are our second lot of shearers. And the first lot of shearers, they were great, but one of our llamas, Avocado, decided that he didn't like them. Anyway, so when we got the new shearers, he decided that he was going to play up extra specially bad. And so Moche, the process of shearing the llamas is that you have to capture them and lie them down on the table. And the table sort of flips and their legs are harnessed to protect themselves so they can also get their feet shorn and their nails cut. They grow big, long nails. And so Moche just relaxes and thinks that he's having a holiday and gets all his hair shorn off. Avocado behaves like a three-year-old and he throws a tantrum and he stomps his feet and he spits and he screams. And so the poor shearers have been left traumatized by dealing with this usually gorgeous animal, the one who cuddles us, wraps his neck around our neck, and is generally really lovely. So once these llamas are shorn and they've all calmed down, they then decide that they don't recognize each other. So they'll be in the paddock for 12 months, no problems whatsoever, take their hair off, and all hell breaks loose. So this morning, before coming on the shows today, we have had to separate the said boys into two separate paddocks so they stop annoying each other and driving us crazy. So that's been my day so far. And as I said to Karen when we jumped on the show, I'm so glad it's Karen I'm talking to today and we can get on with a great show. So welcome, everyone. And hi, Karen. How are you?
Hi, Toni. Thank you. That was such a lovely story. I can imagine those llamas doing that. And, you know, you're so lucky to be living with those animals, but isn't it interesting how they've got those personalities and they're like real, you know, real yes, personalities yes. that do these kind of things like children or toddlers or tantrum throwing.
So the poor shearers. The poor shearers have decided that next time, next year, they perhaps will sedate Avocado because it's actually about keeping them safe as well. And because we get really distressed when he's so upset and we know that he's just misbehaving, but oh, it's just, it's hard when, particularly when Moche just lies there like he's having a massage.
Isn't it interesting that we have the same experiences yes. with children and we can't yes. sedate them? Sometimes yes. I'm sure we would love to. I can remember I used to have a child like that, one of my twins, and she used to throw a tantrum every yes. morning getting ready for kindy. And I used yes. to get kindy and would be exhausted because of the fights and the tantrums. Yes. everything else, and then she would grab onto yep. me and she wouldn't want me to go and she'd be like, no mummy, no mummy, and then the head kindy teacher would say to me, go. As soon as you go, she's absolutely fine.
Yep. And that's the thing, Karen. As soon as we put him back in the paddock, he's just like, they plonk. You know, on the four feet, they plonk like this. So off he goes plonking because he's got no hair now and he's feeling really happy. And then all of a sudden, Mocho goes, who's that? Who's that? And it's on. And in amongst all of this are the goats all watching on and seeing what's happening. And then when the boys run off down the paddock, all the goats follow them. So it's just like all these shenanigans happen at this time of year. And I don't know if it's a combination of spring and shearing, but there you go. That's life on my little farm. I'm sorry, Karen. We need to get on with the show now. And we have been speaking about the universal laws and our mental faculties. And I have to say that I've had some wonderfully amazing conversations today with lots of people from across the world. And we've been talking about similar things in terms of universal laws and a lot also about synchronicity and how when you put it out to the universe that you need to connect with someone or that you need help with a particular part of your life, that these people show up in our lives. And I thought before we got on to our topics today, I'd love to hear your thoughts about that from the universal perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the things that we teach about is that, you know, the what we thought was the Einstein quote about matching the energy of the life that you would love and it can't help you, was that's the synchronicity. So it's like when we get into the same energetic vibration as what we want, that we create that synchronicity, and without it, it doesn't happen. And so, it's if you can imagine your thoughts being like a wave of energetic vibration, and you know, there's different frequencies, just like there's sound frequencies, and there's you know, different sound frequency. There's your radio station frequencies that are all different, and every thought is at a different, every type of thought is at a different frequency. So we've talked about before how thoughts of hatred or worry or challenge or fear are at a much lower frequency than thoughts of gratitude, and gratitude and love are the two highest frequencies on the planet. And so when you get your thoughts in synchronicity with those frequencies, that's when you attract what you want, because our vision of something, a life that we would love, when we do it properly, we do a like a big picture of everything in clarity, crystal clear clarity, then that when we think about that, because it's something we would love, our ideal life, our dream life, that's also at that high frequency. And so it's about getting in that.
When you're talking then, I got a vision of a magnet. And do you know how a magnet invisibly attracts? Is that a good description, Karen?
Absolutely. That's exactly what happens, is that with the laws of the universe, with the law of attraction, we actually do become like a magnet with our thoughts and our beliefs and our getting into synchronicity with what it is we want, that creates like a magnet. Absolutely. Okay. You're doing so well, Tony. You're learning all of this so well.
I know. It's like going into my subconscious and coming up into my conscious when I'm talking to people. I'm like, oh, you must. I send all these grateful, oh, thank God for Karen. Oh, thank God for Karen. Oh, thank goodness Karen told me about that. There's all those thoughts that go through my head when I'm talking to people all the time. And so I'm really grateful that I've had this time on radio with you to further, like I had a bit of knowledge, but it's expanded quite substantially actually in our 5 weeks together because I'm talking about it every week, which then just goes back to verify everything that you're saying. Now, I wanted to digress a little bit when we talk about vision and clarity around our vision. Now, you do some special steps to make sure that people are crystal clear about what they want in their life. Can you tell our listeners how you do that, Karen?
Absolutely. So most people don't actually have the detail and that haven't created that picture as if it really existed. You know, most people have a kind of maybe sort of idea of what they want. So what we do is we say there are four domains in our lives that we create our results in. Remember, we're creating results anyway by our thoughts. And our thoughts are going on crazy. 70,000 plus thoughts a day are coming through that unconscious and conscious mind. And they are what creates our results because they're energetic vibration and they're sending it out there. And we tend to think more about, oh, I want something. Oh, do I want it? Can I do it? Can I achieve it? Have I got the money? We're not really specific, you know, with our thoughts as humans have by default. That's what goes on. And so what we say to people is start with this, creating this life that you would love in the four domains that four areas that we create our results. So we have our health and well-being. We have our relationships and loved ones. That's two. Number three is our business or our career or vocation, whether it's paid or not. And then number four is our freedom, our time and money freedom. And so those are four areas that we are creating results every day. And so in order to use this technology, we write in detail and I ask people to ask themselves two questions. What do I want look at, say, the one domain that you want to concentrate on the most in the beginning. What do I want more of in my health? And what do I want less of? And just brainstorm that way because that helps people to get in touch. What do I want more of? What do I want more of? And the third question is just keep saying, what would I love? If I had a genie, a magic genie, what would I love? If she said I can have whatever I want. So what do I want more of? What do I want less of? And what do I love are the three very powerful questions that we ask to create this vision. So we go through and then people say, oh, well, I want more money. And I say, okay, but that's not specific enough because more to you and more to me and more to her and him is different. People say, I want enough money. Well, that's not specific enough because enough to you is different to, as I say, enough to him, enough to her, enough to me. It's very different. And so we drill down and we get very specific answers. And we must remember when we're doing this that we don't have to know the how. Don't let the how get in the way of what you would love. Because the next thing that happens is people go, well, I'd really love to make $200,000 a year, but I don't know how, so I'm going to say I just want 50, right? And honestly, whatever we ask for, the universe has a way of, when we're really clear, we're really specific, and we say, I'm doing this, this is what I want, yes, this is what I want, then the universe has a way of presenting to us people, situations, circumstances, and conditions that will help us to fulfill that. It's like our reticular activating system. You know, when you want to buy a car and you start researching it and choose what you want, I want a white Honda Civic or whatever, or Mercedes or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, everywhere you go, you see all these people have bought this car. 50, 100, you know, 1,000 of these cars are suddenly on the road. Why are they suddenly on the road? Why has everyone bought the car I want? And of course it hasn't. It's your reticular activation system that makes you notice these things. And that's the important point, is you notice these cars now. And these cars were there all along. It's the same with our lives. These situations or opportunities are often there all along, but we don't notice them because we either think we're not good enough, we're not capable, we don't have enough money, we don't have the qualifications. All of them outside circumstances and conditions that we're brought up to believe is what limits us. And I'll remind you that it is not, it doesn't work like that. The real world is an inside out world. And we actually, it's inside out that creates our results. And so when we think that it's because of that that we can't do something, but we understand that that's not the way it is, it's actually because of that, our thinking, and not creating a specific crystal clear picture and vision of what it is we want, because of all those things as to why we don't. When we do that, honestly, I had a lady just say the other day, she did a vision, only 1 hour, it was a bit over an hour, but one session with me.
Yes.
Do this, get this vision statement really clear and written out. And she said, I went from being a tangled ball, like a tangled ball of wool, because she's an artist, so she's quite descriptive already. A tangled ball of wool into really clearly knowing where I'm going in 3 years, where I'm going to end up in 3 years' time. And so we do it in 3 years, because I ask people to do it for 3 years ahead. Because if, say, you're earning $50,000 now, but you'd love to, your ideal life would be $200,000, and you say, I'm going to do it in 6 months, the limbic part of the brain that's here to keep us surviving, that's its primary role, to keep us breathing and our heart beating and keep us in survival mode and allow us to have the fight or flight reaction if we need it. That part of our brain is also the part that is the witch with the bee in our head.
It brings up
the need to talk. And if you say, I want to earn $200,000 in a couple of months or 6 months, and you're only earning 50 now, it'll say, that's ridiculous. How do you think you're going to do that sort of thing, right? And so it'll give you the doubt immediately. And when you've got the doubt, then you can't achieve it. So we say 3 years out because it stops that part of our brain from being able to do that, and we're able to then really see what it is we would love if we could have what we wanted. Because remember, as humans, we can achieve whatever we can think up.
Yes, yes. Karen, do you think that everyone has varying degrees of negative thought patterns in their mind?
I do.
All humans have them.
We all have them, but some people, once again, it's like a training or an indoctrination, and it's all part of growing up and beliefs. Some people have a lot of negative beliefs and negative self-talk. And to some extent, it's also some people have become enlightened. So it's about your awareness as well. Like you, Tony, have become enlightened, and you have learned that it's really important to do things that allow you to be more positive more often, to give gratitude, like you've got that beautiful gratitude process that you sent me, which is just lovely. And some people choose not to. Some people just choose to stay in that mediocre life where they all these beliefs going on about this is the way it is and money is greedy and you should live within your means and all these kind of things that people have taught and they choose to believe it and they just stay there. And other people see, you know, how they say some people with the glasses, to some people the glass is half full and to other people the glass is half empty. So I think there's that interferes as well.
I know in this journey that for me, gratitude and a gratitude practice, it took a while to build, but now that I practice it like multiple times throughout the day, as I said to you, I find it really easy to be grateful And I find it easy to be grateful about so many things. Like I said to you in conversations during the week, they'll say something and it will remind me of you, and I'll immediately feel grateful that we are connected and are friends. And I find that that helps the most with the negativity that the world will throw at you. And another conversation this week was talking to an expat Aussie who now lives in America and who is a really big deal. And we talked about the Aussie battler persona and also about the tall poppy syndrome. And I know that that was one of the things that I had to work really hard on, was that whole idea that I was not good enough to be successful. That who did I think that I was to write a book? Who did I think that I was that I could conceive that I could be on radio? And so I had to work really hard on that negativity. And for me, the key was gratitude. And once you start the day with a grateful heart, it becomes easier to knock off that negativity or the thoughts that would stop you achieving what you want to in life. And you have coached so many more people than me. Do you find that, Karen?
Absolutely. So there's a number of things that help to change, like you say, the way that we think. Along with that vision, like the vision is one of the key things to do. One of our key coaching points is to notice what you're thinking. So to have a system where you check in on a regular yes. basis throughout the day and see what your thoughts actually are. The other thing, of course, is to have that outcome, to have that vision, to have that destination in mind. And the other really important part is to know your purpose. So yes. we work with all of those things with people. If you know your big, big purpose, like, why am I here yes. on this earth,
yes.
in this century, in this decade, with the people around me I have, and doing this work, you know, why am I here? When you know your purpose, both your work and your full big purpose, then it makes a big difference, because every decision you make, every path you look at taking, everything that you decide to do or add to your life, every yeah. person you want to become, you know, you want to add into your circle of friends, you will have a way of choosing, you know, because let's face it, not everybody is going to be your best friend or a good friend or resonate.
Yes.
You're not going to resonate.
Years ago, someone told me, I'm thinking like as much as 20 years ago, I remember being in a conference of some description, and the person on stage was talking about connecting and networking, and they said, 1 in 7 people you meet, you will not get along with, and you are not meant to get along with them. Let them go. Yeah. So that actually changed things for me as well, because if I find that I don't quite resonate with someone, then I'm just like, okay, that person's not for me. Whereas before that, I would have really consciously tried to make them like me. And now you don't have to be liked by everyone. You don't have to make everyone like you. Remember, 1 in 7 people are not your people. And then there's varying degrees of people after that. And so if you become comfortable with that idea, then you are more able to let go of what's not meant for you.
That's so true, Tony. And I used to be like you too, and think everyone had to like me. You know, I wanted everyone to like me, yes. to be likable. And I also, you know, made that decision that if I didn't resonate, like you say, if I didn't connect or resonate with someone, and particularly if I perhaps even felt disconnect, then that was yes. fine. I was not even going to go there, you know.
And you can step away from someone graciously and with kindness in a way that they're not even going to realize that you're stepping away. I had to learn that as well. And those are the things that help you start to surround yourself with the types of people who will uplift you, who will be caring and supportive, because seriously, you don't have to tolerate nasty people in your life. If someone is if someone's making your life horrible in that you don't want to talk to them, you don't want to hang out with them, why do you do that? Why do you allow that into your life? You don't have to. It's your life. You've only got one.
Yeah, and actually, that's a really good point. There is a couple of extra things I want to add about the vision and, yes, and about this, Tony. One of the things we teach in one of my programs is about cutting away in order to achieve what you want, cutting away some things. And, you know, one of the quotes we use is that when Michelangelo did the statue of David,
beautiful,
he away everything that wasn't David, right? And when we're growing and learning, sometimes we have to let things go that we're doing to replace them with things that are more that serve us and
aligned,
serve our goal and our vision. And sometimes they could be people in our lives, they could be friends, because probably all of us have got one friend at least who's maybe quite negative and doesn't talk in a positive, enlightened, aware way. And every time you spend time with them, you leave feeling exhausted, you know, because they say there are energy givers and there are energy takers, you know, and there are people who, when you spend time with, maybe they whinge and moan it the whole time you're there. Maybe they complain all the time. And these things are really important for us too, is to notice, because our words are an energetic vibration as well. And so it's really, you know, one of the things we coach again in one of my programs is to start noticing what you say. If you gossip, if you join in with the not gossip, but not contradicting, you know, like saying judgmental things about people, or saying not so nice things, you know, like looking at someone and going, their dress looks horrible or whatever. And, you know, these thoughts are, or words are, things that we can choose not to do, because when we choose not to do it, it helps us to once again resonate on that different vibration, which gives us that synchronicity, which is so important. So it's a choice. Everything is a choice. When you get up in the morning, I often put on Facebook, decide to have a happy day. Decide to be happy.
Yes.
Right?
First
thing in the morning, you know? It's a choice how you're going to feel. It's a choice what you decide to do. And it's a choice whether you're going to have a happy day or a bad day. And that gratitude helps with that, of course. So it's about understanding the importance. And with the vision, I was going to add that, so that's just gone out of my head now. we have to be really specific. We want to be really specific. We want to write it out in detail. We want to make sure when we're dreaming, we have a download. Like when we start doing it, we write, what do I want more of? What do I want less of? We keep going through the four domains. And then we just imagine. I say to someone, okay, let's imagine that it's 3 years' time and you're at a restaurant somewhere, or you're at the airport going somewhere, and you're celebrating this amazing life, this amazing achievement that you've had. You know, if you're at the restaurant you're with friends, decide who you're going to be with, and just imagine that you've had these wonderful 3 years where you've been working on this vision that you drew up 3 years ago in writing, and it's all happened, you know, it's all worked out. And you imagine that it's happened, and it actually changes your energy. You know, that whenever I do it with people, and I did it with you, Tony, we were at the airport.
Yes, you did.
And, you know, I say to people now, how do you feel? And 100% of people say, I feel great, I feel different, I feel as if it's possible, or I feel as if it's happened. And so the important thing to remember is what happens over the period of time. And, you know, with coaching as well, it helps, or talking about this, reading about it, is that it's not achieving the vision that's the biggest gift and reward. It's actually becoming that person living
person.
In that
place. Yes.
We change. And I see my clients change into different people, you know, people who are good at this and can do this and have learned things and have grown and have, you know, made amazing accomplishments over the time. And it doesn't have to take 3 years. It's just that we put that we put that in for the limbic part of the brain. It still hasn't come back to me what I was going to say, but it doesn't matter. It'll come back. I'll tell you when it comes back. It's kind of
it'll just pop back in when it's meant to, I'm sure. keep bumping my watch on the side of the table. So, in the course of this work that you do, can you tell me about the importance of being able to dream and dream big?
Absolutely. So that's the other thing, is we get indoctrinated from quite a young age to stop using our imagination, to stop dreaming. And, you know, you will have heard, oh, she's a dreamer, he's a dreamer. Or, you know, be realistic.
As if it's a negative thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Be realistic. You have to grow up now. All those kinds of sayings that society and people who love us, by the way, it's not that these people we grow up learning from are trying to hurt us or damage us. It's society's beliefs. And so the thing I said before is that, you know, everyone is capable of far, far more than we are achieving. We are all so much more capable to achieve and make a difference and do the things that we want to do. We are as capable. There's no difference between us and all the people who have changed history, who have made a difference in the world, and all the great masters. Everyone has the same capacity to do that. We all have the same capacity and potential to do things that are right now you think are impossible to you. And so the importance, like you said, Tony, of thinking big is exactly that. It's like when you ask, what do I want more of and what do I want less of? And what would I love? It's like I said, don't just forget about knowing how. Just answer that question. If I had everything I wanted to achieve, that big dream, and when I got up in the morning, I was just like, oh my gosh, I love my life. I just love my life. I've got no stress. I've got the freedom and the money to buy everything I want to make, you know, to make my life, to be happy. Well, it's not money that makes you happy, but you know that, like, there's not the scarcity mentality. Because the other thing is we tend to also think that wanting more, wanting things is bad. And if you read The Science of Getting Rich, you will understand that we are supposed to be happy. We are, you know, the universe and whatever you call it, God, the universe, the higher power, the cosmos, wants us to have wealth, abundance, and happiness. That's meant to be our right. So get rid of those thoughts that, oh, you know, I should be happy with what I've got. Or,
you know,
wanting this is greedy, or wanting this is too much. So it's like, think about what you want to do. If you want to do a job in this world but you don't know how, that should be your vision. If you want to make a difference in some society, whether it's coaching people, you know, whether it's teaching children something that isn't being taught in a way that isn't being taught at the moment. Whatever it is, if you, it doesn't matter how small or big your dream is, as long as for you, you're not limiting it because of those outside circumstances and conditions that you think are your limitations, because they are not your limitations. It's in here that are your limitations. And so, yes, think as big as you can to achieve what it is that would give you the life that you would absolutely be in love with.
You love. Yes. The powerful concepts for us to grasp, and as I sort of might have said before, if we could get this information into the hearts and souls of children, it would be enough to change the world. It would be enough to end poverty. It would be enough to create peace across the world. All of these good things are just the other side of being able to manage your mind and your mindset. And, you know, they might be a little hard to start with, but once you start practicing, every little action that you do then becomes a bigger and better action. And if you start small and build on that, you will get there. You know, you don't have to, again, you don't have to know the way, you don't have to know the how to do it, because it will become apparent as you grow and change and develop. Yeah.
You don't have to know how, you just have to know what. What would I love? Keep asking that question. What would I love if all my limitations were gone, all my perceived limitations were gone, if I could do what I think is impossible, what would that be? What would I love? And, you know, that I'd like to also add the about the reason, Tony, which is our fifth
community. Yes. Which
because
we haven't talked about
it
yet, and which we
because it's part of, you know, our ability to use that mental faculty, our reason. So it has amazing power, and it can change our lives. And using the right reason is often illogical, because logic is based on current circumstances and can only produce more of the same. So it's really important to understand the difference. So it is right reasoning that is the highest function that you're capable of, because it's based on your infinite potential. Like I said, you have, every one of us has an infinite potential. We are, most of us have only scratched the surface of what we're capable of. And so you to learn how to use your reason in the right way by building your life based on the statement, you become what you think about. So that's what we've been talking about today. You become what you think about. You create the vision of what you would love and who you would love, basically yourself, to be. And you become what you think about. So intuition isn't the enemy. This is another Albert Einstein quote, one of my favorite people. I hope it's his. Intuition isn't the enemy, but the ally of reason. Reason, and this is another quote, reason is the glory of human nature and one of the chief eminences whereby we are lifted above our fellow creatures in the world. And that's Isaac Watts. So do you believe that you could do a whole lot better? This is really, really good stuff. I'll see if I can, I might have to speak fast. Do you believe it excites me, this stuff. Do you believe that you could do a whole lot better if you just tried a little bit harder? Anyone put their hand up? I imagine you putting your hand up. I've spoken at so many different places and asked people for the time that I've been coaching, and frequently everyone will put their hand up. Let me ask you a question in a different way. How many of you believe that if you tried a little bit harder, you could do a whole lot better? I'd say something like that, right? I'll raise my arm and just about everyone will put their hand up, because that's how we're conditioned. But let me tell you a story. I'm sitting in a quiet room the other night, and it's a peaceful place, and there's a big window across the end of this room. And yeah. I'm looking at the beautiful view, and then suddenly there's a fly that starts buzzing around the glass. And it can't get out, you know. You remember, you've all seen it. Everyone's seen it. The fly flies away, comes back, hits the glass, goes away, goes away, goes away, goes nearly to somewhere that it could get out, maybe the open window, but it doesn't see it. And it comes back and it keeps hitting the glass and it keeps hitting the glass and it keeps hitting the glass and it flies around the room again, comes back, tries harder, tries harder, tries harder, keeps trying harder until it runs out of energy. Yes. It's not working. The frenzied effort offers no hope for survival. And ironically, the struggle is part of the trap. It's impossible for the fly to try hard enough to succeed at breaking through the glass, right? Nevertheless, the fly has staked its life on reaching its goal through the raw effort and determination. The fly is doomed. It will die there on the windowsill. And we've all seen many flies on the windowsill, and that's how they've died. And yet, across the room, just a few feet away, there's an open door which leads to the outside, or there's an open door which leads to a place where there's a window that fly, in 10 seconds of flying time, could have reached the outside world. With only a fraction of the effort now being wasted, it could be free of its self-imposed trap. You can see where we're going with this, can't you? The breakthrough is it would be so easy. The breakthrough possibility would be so easy. Why doesn't the fly try another approach? Something dramatically different. How did it get so locked in on one idea of this particular route and determined effort over the most promise for success? What logic is there in continuing until death to seek a breakthrough? We all do this stuff. You know, so many people I hear, even enlightened, aware people saying, you've got to work hard. If you are prepared to put hard work in, you'll get there. Yeah. Now, it's not, to the contrary, what I coach is completely opposite. It's about doing the right thing to get where you want to go, but it doesn't mean you have to work hard. It's about changing your beliefs and changing your perception and understanding that our beliefs about this stuff are not necessarily the truth. Yeah. And once you understand that there might be another way, sometimes when we learn to think differently about all of these things that we've grown up thinking is the way that it is, then we start to make progress. Real progress. So the particular lesson is about reason, but what we want to get you involved in is the right reason. We want you to begin to think, because it's with your inductive reasoning factor that you think. It's the highest function that you're capable of. It's the greatest tool that every one of us have. And every great leader that has ever lived has been in complete and unanimous agreement that we become what we think about. So play with that for a little while. We started with, it was so good, right? Because we started with the vision and we're getting back to it. Every great leader has disagreed on virtually everything else, Tony. But this one thing we agree on is that we become what we think about.
What we think.
And if I try harder, I'll do better. Trying harder isn't going to make it better. Most of the time, it makes it worse. People get sick. People get stress sickness. People have health issues. you know, when they keep trying harder and harder and they have these pressures on them to, you know, achieve yes. certain levels. So we've got to take a look at what we're doing, and we have to ask ourselves what we're doing, and we have to ask ourselves where we're going, and we've really got to be thinking and notice our thinking. And there's a little book that I'd love to recommend. I mean, if you yes. want, you know, like three books that help with all of this type of work. One is called Think yes. and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Yes.
Another one is called As a Man Thinketh, and that's by James Allen. But my yes. Bible that I use all the time is, and it talks about the fly and a lot of this work, is called, it's written by Price Pritchett, and it's called U Squared. So it's a U with a little two, like squared, uh-huh. like you're squaring yourself. And it's like my Bible as the Quantum Queen, because yes. it tells you how actually to create and have a quantum leap in your life and your results, because that's another belief, that you have to expect results to be slow and incremental. It challenges yes. all of these. It challenges all of these beliefs and ways of thinking, and yeah. gives you, just like the fly, it says, listen, if you can imagine that you're that fly, and what you're doing at the moment is you're just trying to work harder and harder and harder to get there by yeah. all the words that you've learned by society and the standard education facilities, shall we say.
Yes.
You start yes. to learn this other work and understand how we really create our results. And this book talks about it all. It's just a little tiny book, and you can read it in a really, really short time. But I highly
can you say those again, please, Karen? It was U Squared by Paul Pritchard.
Price Pritchard. So
Price.
His name is spelt P-R-I-C-E, and then his surname is
yep.
E-R-I-T-C-H-E-T-T. Yep. And the book is called U Squared, and it's in yep. a high velocity formula for multiplying your personal effectiveness in quantum leaps.
Yep.
It's stunning.
And the other one was?
So the first one I said is Think and Grow Rich.
I
read that, yep. Napoleon Hill. It's a famous, famous book.
Yes.
And it helps you to get rid of some of those theories around, once again, those beliefs around not being worthy of being wealthy or having abundance.
Yes. Yes.
And then the other one is As a Man Thinketh, and that's written yes. by James Allen. They'd be my three favourite books to read yeah. to learn more about the universe.
Now that you've mentioned it, I've had it on my mind to reread Think and Grow Rich, because you know when you read something at different times in your journey, you will get different nuggets. So if you have favorite books, it's a really good idea to reread, or in my case, I love audiobooks, re-listen to that audiobook. I actually find that when I listen to audiobooks, it tends to stay in my subconscious more readily than when I read. I don't know why that is, but yes, I have audiobooks in my car that I can play all the time whenever I'm driving somewhere and listen to some nugget of wisdom from someone. So I'll have to go to my library and find Think and Grow Rich again. It's very old. I've had mine for possibly 20 years or more, I think, Karen. So and it's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, a long time. Yeah, I can't. I'm not good. You asked me, one of our first sessions, you asked me what year or, you know, when. I'm not good on dates, Tony. But yes, you're right. Yes. It's been around a very long time. So
Yeah.
So just a few gold nuggets on the reason too, is I can add, yeah. We've got a bit more time if you want me to.
We have. We've got enough time.
So you can use your reason to look at circumstances and recognize that you have more than you are aware of. And part of doing that, of course, is gratitude too, Tony. Your gratitude helps you to do that. When you, when you're feeling a bit hard done by, when you actually sit down or even think, sit down and write or even think, well, what can I be grateful for? It's amazing how you can come up with 100 different things if you choose to. So what is in your bank account and what other people think of you and what your history is? They all have a fact. They're all a fact. But your destiny is determined, and you put a post up recently about that. Your destiny is determined by your history. And here's the important three words: without your permission. Nobody can make you think a thought also without your permission. And nobody can make you feel a way. You know how you get, we say sometimes, oh, you make me feel angry or you upset me. Actually, we don't
know.
Those people haven't done it. We've done it to ourselves. So nobody can make you feel a way without your permission. Nobody can make you think anything without your permission. And none of those historical stories and facts and past is determining you without your permission. And so it's like you said, Tony, at any time, and it's really powerful to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not my story, I'm not my history, I'm not the past. My life, and do your vision, is from now on.
Is the future.
This is the future. So you're hooked, and everyone, another gold nugget, everyone, we're all hooked up to the infinite. And there's an answer for every question that we have. There's a solution for every problem that we're facing.
Yes.
Henry Ford said, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is why few people engage in it. And it's true.
That's a great quote, Karen. That's a great one.
Yeah, proper thinking is different to that self-dialogue that goes on in our head.
Yeah.
Thinking and mental activity are two completely different things. Thinking and mental activity are two completely different things. So begin thinking of where you would be if you took an explosive jump, a quantum leap, which is in that little book, and you are using... Yeah. And are you using your imagination? Coming back to what you asked me, this is called big thinking. So you mentioned that.
Yes.
U squared.
The power of big thinking.
Yeah. U squared, that little book, is the concept of exponential gains rather than small incremental progress. And it's worth reading it just to get that different perspective and understand that someone who wrote a book can introduce some other perspectives to what maybe you've grown up with. And when you think and you tap into an infinite power that's flowing into your consciousness, your reasoning factor gives you the ability to take that power and formulate it into a thought. An idea is nothing but a thought, or a collection of thoughts directed towards a purpose. Our beliefs are simply a thought that we have over and over again.
Yeah.
And that power of your thinking is that you can tap into these infinite gifts that you have, and what was unreasonable at one time comes perfectly reasonable to you right now.
Yeah, absolutely, and it comes back to you having the power. You have the choice. You make the decisions. You allow different things into your life. Just stop allowing them. Make a decision from this time forward, and that was what was behind that post. I will not be dragged into my past because I am no longer that person. and those decisions that person made in the past are just that. They are in the past. And I will go forward continuously trying to be a better person each and every day. That's my simple goal for each day, is to do it better than yesterday, to be nicer, kinder, have more positive thoughts, be more gratitude each and every day. And some days we're not going to get it right. Some days are going to be yucky, but there's always tomorrow, and you can do it all again. You choose whether you'll focus on that negativity or that thing that you didn't do right the day before. You choose whether you focus on that. So you have the option to go, oh my God, I'm so bad, I did this yesterday. Or, gosh, that was a bit silly. Let's make sure we don't do that again and go forward with a positive attitude, focused on the future and focused on your vision. And on that note, my darling Karen, we are out of time yet again. And as usual, the time has just flitted by in an instant. It is a wonderful conversation with you each and every week. And I am absolutely grateful that you made it into my life and we get to share these sessions each week on Radio Tony Everyday Business, because this should be part of your everyday business. So Karen, I look forward to our show next week. Listeners, thank you so much. A quick mention that Karen has an amazing offer for you, a free session, 45 minutes or 60 minutes. It's called the Hour of Power, and you get Karen's undivided attention for 60 minutes. If you jump onto RadioTony.com, look for Karen in the Radio.com co-host section, and you will find a link to this session with Karen. And that, my wonderful people, is all we have for this week. Thank you once again, the gorgeous Karen Clark, everyone. And we will see you all next week on Radio Tony Everyday Business. Bye for now.
Thank you, Tony. My pleasure.
Thank you for watching and listening to Tony TV. For more inspirational stories, join us next week. Bye for now.